We're super, super thankful for you guys across all of our campuses this morning. It's great to be with you. Great to be worshiping with you. We are galloping through the first month of 2023. We're halfway through. It's January 15th. It happens like that. You felt like yesterday was Christmas. It wasn't. It was 20 days ago, but you're with us. The series is called Refocus. What many of us do anyway this time of year, and it's Romans 12 is the text that we're springing off of to have a conversation on living a life, right, on pivoting in a new year, in a new season, to the idea of refocusing as well. We're a part of a 21 days of prayer and fasting, and so many people that are a part of our church have chosen something to fast from, a food, technology, some type of screen, something like that, a normal part of our life we say no to maybe experience God in a way we don't normally experience Him. Fasting is what the people of God have done for centuries. And so if you're a part of that, we're glad you're here, as well as on Wednesday nights for 3 weeks, worshiping the Word are happening at 7 o'clock. It was awesome if you were here last Wednesday. Encourage you to be a part of one of those three. You can watch all of them online between 7 and 8. It's just a night to kind of raise our antenna, put our mind toward the things of God. And the idea of refocus is just like a photographer adjusting her lens or his lens to kind of capture the moment based on the lighting, just like the captain of a sailboat. Right, that adjust the sail based on where the wind is going. Readjust to pick up the wind. Like an explorer that's leading some type of expedition, that where his compass says due west or due east, he then leads and changes direction to follow the compass. Like a quarterback that steps up to the line of scrimmage, sees what the defense has given him and then calls an audible, changes the play, refocuses, readjusted based on what the team is giving him in the game of football. Which, on a side note, I would be remiss if I did not say, go Dawgs. And so, I know those of you that attend this church that do not like the University of Georgia and do not say, go Dawgs. It drives you crazy when I have these little outbursts. And for that, I apologize, but not really. And so, you're the one that chose to live 20 minutes from Athens, not me, right? And so, go Dawgs, it's good to be king, is what we say here as Georgia fans, right? But as a church, as we refocus, the idea as our church bodies to refocus, we go into a new year. Last week I said the world, you and I, the world's not a neutral place. The world you and I are living in right now is not a neutral place. The patterns of this world are conforming you and I. The patterns of this world are molding our mind, our thoughts, our perspectives from the outside in. What are the patterns of this world? Loud, noisy, constant distraction, continual stimulation, self-gratification, comfort, ease. Those are the patterns of this world, and those things shape, mold from the outside in your thinking, your reasoning, your perspective, your emotions, your rhythms, the pace of your life. Do you know many of us live a pace of life? We live in a frantic pace of life that is conformed because of the patterns of this world. In the midst of that, we begin with Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul says this, I appeal to you, if you get your Bibles, Romans 12, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't be molded by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, here's the thing. Many of you have been following Jesus, have heard that verse or bits and pieces of that verse. Some of you have that verse memorized. Raise your hand if you've heard that verse before multiple times. Many of you haven't memorized or know bits and pieces of it. Here's the thing, when you find a famous verse, and this is probably one of the most famous verses Paul ever wrote. He wrote half the New Testament. Sometimes we memorize a verse, we know a verse, we know bits and pieces, but can I encourage you with something? We miss the gift of what's next. We miss the gift of what comes next. That's the power of Scripture. There's verses don't come in isolation. There's a next. What do you mean? Verse 3, here we go. For by the grace given to me, I say to among you not to think of himself more, right? Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. That's a good word. Each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So though we, many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Here's what's fascinating. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. Don't be molded by the outside in. Be transformed from the inside out. And the next thing Paul says, it's fascinating. Couldn't be more relevant to our culture now. The next thing Paul says after that verse is, how you view yourself matters. Do you want to know if you're being conformed from the outside in, or you're being transformed from the inside out? The best place to look is simply this. Do you see yourself? Is your perspective of yourself, is it accurate? So for a moment, let me give you a refocus principle, like I did last week, a refocus practice and a refocus picture, just three things. Do you want to know if you're being conformed to the patterns of this world, or are you being transformed by the renewing of your mind? Here's the question Paul asked. How do you see yourself? What is your perspective of yourself? How do you view yourself? I don't think there's anything more relevant to a conversation in our time than this. Here's the first principle. Real simply this morning. There's a difference between being self-aware and being self-conscious, and the patterns of this world confuse the two. There is a difference between being self-aware and being self-conscious, and the patterns of this world confuse the two. The word he uses is to think of yourself with sober judgment. The J.B. Phillips version that I read last week, he says, think of yourself, have a sane estimate of yourself. Now, with a smile on my face, all of us have been around people that put the vibe off of, you are blessed to be in my presence. We've all been around those people. Am I right? You are blessed to be in my presence. People who think highly of themselves. They are fans of themselves. Call it ego. Call it arrogance. Call it narcissism. And when you're in, no pointing this morning, and when you're in the presence of that person, right, what we oftentimes think to ourselves is, they're not that great, really. They're not as good as they think they are. And we've also spent time with people whose words, whose body language screams, I'm unworthy. Why would anybody want to be around me? I can't do anything right. I'm a victim. I'm a nobody going nowhere. You know what we think to ourselves? They're not that bad. Why do they think of themselves like this? Here's the thing about self-awareness. Everybody knows someone who's not self-aware, but everybody thinks they are, and they're not. I just said a mouthful right there. Everyone knows someone who's not self-aware, who doesn't see themselves accurate. The problem is we all think we are self-aware. And with a smile on my face, I want to say to you, sometimes you're not as self-aware as you think you are. We all know somebody, we're like, dude, they don't see themselves right. We can point at them. They don't see themselves accurately. But the problem is we all think we are self-aware. And what I'm saying with a smile on my face is you're not as self-aware as you think you are. You're not as self-aware as you. Let me illustrate it this way. Anybody bowl in the room, like go bowling, like the sport of bowling. Any bowling? All right, one hand, all right, fastest one, two. Like you're serious, like you could win if you say, we'll bowl and I can beat you, Pastor, raise your hand. Well, okay, you guys don't have much confidence in yourself. I've been bowling. I'm no good at bowling. I've been bowling. I'm no good at bowling. I like the sport. I don't do it enough. I do like the shoes, though, right? There's nothing that blesses me more than putting my foot, my size 12, in somebody else's nasty shoe where 100 people's other feet have been. They spray that disinfectant thing in there. You just think, nasty, right? It's like COVID in your feet, man. It's just like, come on. But here's what I know about the game. If you roll the ball down the lane and it goes in the right gutter, you get a zero because the point is to hit the pins. If you roll the ball and it goes down the left lane, it goes in the left gutter, you get a zero because the point is to hit the pins. Am I correct? So whether you roll it in the right lane or the right gutter or the left gutter, you missed the point. Or, no matter if you think of yourself too highly or you think of yourself too lowly, you missed the point. It's an accurate view. It's an inaccurate view. Why? Because you're not seeing as God sees. Because you're not seeing as God sees. He says, see yourself with sober judgment. What's that word mean? Sober judgment means the way we use the word sober. How do we use the word sober? When we're talking about being intoxicated. When we're talking about being drunk. I know nobody knows anything about that in here, but when we're talking about that, right? The idea of being sober. It's the third service. I know you guys, okay? It's the third service. I just threw that in there for this service. They're crazy, right? He's saying, don't be drunk. Don't be intoxicated under some influence that would give you a false perception of yourself. Hello. The patterns of this world, the molding of this world, will make you and form you to be incredibly self-conscious, and you think you're self-aware, and you're not. And you're not. Don't get drunk, intoxicated on your view of yourself that's not accurate. So what do you mean? Let's talk about the difference real quick, 5 minutes, between self-conscious and self-aware. Because Paul says, do you have a sober judgment of yourself? Do you want to know if you're being conformed from the outside in or transformed from the inside out? How do you see yourself? How do you view yourself? To be self-conscious means to see myself as I think others see me or how I want them to see me. To see myself as I think others see me. So my view of myself is I think of myself the way I think others think of me or I want them to think of me. When I'm dialed into what other people think of me, what others are saying of me, what others' perception of me is, when I am hyper attentive to the thoughts of others, that's not self-awareness, that's self-consciousness. Listen, you better lean in if you got kids in the room. I'm telling you, across all of us, every age in this room, is not marketing and consumerism in a visual society based on how much better your life would be if you looked like this or you had this. Comparison is the engine room of consumerism. Don't you want to look like them? Don't you want to have a marriage like theirs? Don't you want to have a love life like theirs? Don't you want to have a body like his? Don't you want to have a body like hers? Don't you want to have romance like theirs? Wouldn't it be great if your kids were more like theirs? And shouldn't they be? Shouldn't your marriage at this point look more like theirs? Don't you deserve this? If you were really successful, wouldn't you have this? Do you see it? The patterns of this world are always forming self-consciousness, and we think to ourselves, well, we're not that. Well, what's our problem? I don't have it. And here's the thing. I think we're so formed by that, we don't even see it. We're so formed by the patterns of this world, we do not realize how self-conscious we are. And so in a social media world, TikTok, Instagram, right, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is. Like, this phone is just a way of the world. So this is not me beating it up. There's many good things about those social media feeds. There's a lot of deceptive and destructive things, I think we would all agree. But it's the way of our world. But let's make sure we get in this. This right here, that what we're told in our society, is this is just an extension of you. That's what millions of different ways we're told. This is just an extension of you. My friends, this is an extension of you. This is you projecting an image of you and you interacting with other people's image. Everybody, this isn't you. This isn't, we're told in a million different ways, it's just an extension of you. It just makes the world faster, better, you connect more. This is, look, let's do this. A little science, a little biology, a little anatomy. Do this, touch yourself. That's you. Take in a deep breath. That's you. This is an image of you. This is the projection of what you want other people to think, how you want other people to feel about you, and you are interacting with other people's image. Do you understand that? See, self-awareness, though, is to see myself accurately. To see myself, to accurately see myself as I am. That's what it means to have, Paul says, do you have a sober judgment? Do you have a sane estimate? Can you clearly see yourself? That's what he's saying. To be self-aware is to be a person who's aware of their actions and emotions, their thoughts and their fears, their strengths and their weaknesses. They're fully aware their words affect them and other people's words affect them. To be self-aware is to understand what's going on inside of me that's producing what's happening outside of me. To be self-aware means my actions and emotions aren't isolated. There's something up under there. It's to know what's happening in yourself that's producing the things outside of yourself. Do you see it? Self-conscious is, I want to know how other people see me, how other people perceive me, and how I want them to. Self-awareness is that I can accurately see myself just as I am. Do not be conformed is one path. Be transformed is another path. And you make the decision which one is happening. And here's what Paul says. The first thing is a sober judgment of yourself. A sane estimate of yourself will let you know if you're being transformed or conformed. Man, he's preaching. Now, hold on a second. Let me give you a visual. I'm a visual guy. Let me help with something visual. I didn't put this in your notes, I don't think. Okay, it's not in your notes, I don't think. But I want to give you an image that kind of just helps us because all of us have been through this. If you are parenting kids that are still in the house, raise your hand. You're going to really want to lean in. But every person in this room has gone through this in their life. Every person, this kind of levels of existence that kind of explains what I'm talking about, self-conscious self-awareness. So here's what I mean. All of us in our earliest years, there's a stage of innocence we go through. When your children are, when they're young, there's this stage of innocence. I mean, everything's an adventure. Everybody's for me. Nobody's against me. It's the four-year-old that goes to Publix with a Superman cape on, cowboy boots on, and a football helmet on. You know what I mean? That's innocence. It's the young girl, the five-year-old girl who goes to Walmart with a princess dress on and Chuck Taylors, right? Everybody's here. Everybody's great. How fun is this? That's the stage of innocence. It's fun. It's beautiful. It's tiring if you're a parent, but it's just a joy. If you're in that stage, let me smile at you and go, it don't last. It don't last, right? Well, what happens next? You move to a self-conscious phase. Preteen years, fourth, it just depends, right? Fourth, fifth, 10, 11, 12, 13, right in there. You become self-conscious. Now, by self-conscious, here's what I mean. We start thinking about how we look and how we are perceived, and we begin to think, wait, other people think about me. And other people treat me differently, and I'm not quite sure about that. We begin to be aware of where we're strong and where we're weak. We begin to be aware that people are looking at us or people have a perception of us. That's called being self-conscious, right? For the first time, like, I can do this and I can't do that. He's better at that. I like the way they look. I don't like the way I look. And why do I? All this begins to happen, and there's a loss of innocence, and we begin to think about how other people think about us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? Then, here's where I would argue. We become, in our culture, there's a pattern. The patterns of this world move us continually from self-consciousness to self-deception. We become self-conscious. We know people have perceptions of me. People think of me, and different people think of me in different ways. That leads us, the patterns of this world, to a place of self-deception. What do you mean? You begin to believe things about yourself that aren't true. Whew. You begin to believe things about your future that aren't true. You begin to believe things about your body image that aren't true. You begin to believe things about your worth and your significance that aren't true. The patterns of this world that are happening all the time. Do not be conformed. Loud, busy, distraction, image, continual stimulation, external stimulation over and over and over all the time. The patterns of this world, listen to me, lean in. They will get you stuck in a cycle of being self-deceived, back to being self-conscious, to being self-deceived, back to being self-conscious. And you will find yourself living in this pattern. Listen to me. Here's what I want you to hear. It may begin when you're 12 years old, but I know a lot of 22-year-olds, 32-year-olds, 42-year-olds, and 52-year-olds who live right here. That is the cycle of the patterns of this world. It will conform you to being hyper self-conscious, and then based off of your self-consciousness, you will be self-deceived because you will believe things about yourself that just aren't true. You will believe things about your future that just aren't true. You will believe things about your worth that just aren't accurate. So Paul says that you and I would have a sober judgment, a sane estimate of ourselves. What does he mean? See, the gospel being transformed by the renewal of your mind moves us to a place of self-awareness. And Paul says this, what do you mean by self-awareness? Like he says, by the faith that's been assigned to you, by the measure of faith that God has assigned to you, here's what he's saying, that you would begin to see as God sees you. If you are a Jesus follower, that you would be invited to continually remind yourself in a world that'll make you self-conscious and self-deceived, that you will remind yourself over and over what God sees, as God sees. That's what it means as a Jesus follower. So what do you mean? That you are loved, that you matter, that you have significance, that you have worth, that you have purpose, that you're loved, that God has a plan for you, that you belong. Patterns of this world, transformation of the mind, the renewing of the soul. That's what he's saying. You want to know? If you're being conformed to the patterns of this world, if you live in that cycle over there, it's eating your lunch. Listen to me, parents. This is what a student lives in. And this is what you are molded by. Parents, can I say this to you? In your house, you are fostering this or you are fostering this, but they're being molded. Whoo! In your house, you are fostering with your choices of what matters to you, self-consciousness or self-deception, or self-consciousness or self-awareness. Do you see it? Some of you want to take a picture of this right quick because it's about to be gone. Right? Here's what I want you to say. What's the practice? Here's the practice. That's the principle. Difference between being self-conscious, self-aware. Patterns of this world make you self-conscious. Here's the practice. You got to choose willingly, repeatedly, and intentionally to give yourself to something bigger than yourself. What is that? The body of Christ. He talks about there's a body. And he talks about, although we're all different and there's many different members, kind of like your ear and your foot don't have the same function, but there's your part of your body. He's talking about how we're all different. We all bring different things to the table. We all have different experiences. But the analogy Paul uses when he talks about the church is always the body of Christ. And he talks about the bigness of the body of Christ. You are part of something bigger than yourself. Our world will make you think you're part of just your own little kingdom and your own little world. And what Jesus is reminding us of, what Paul is saying to us is this. When you willingly, repeatedly, and intentionally give yourself to something bigger than yourself, you are grounding yourself in the transformation of your mind. You are fighting against the being conformed over and over and over. When you choose to be a part of the body of Christ, it's not a pragmatic choice, it's a sacred choice. The body of Christ is sacred language the Bible has used for centuries. In America, we think of the body of Christ as the church as pragmatic. What does that mean? Whenever it's helpful and useful in my life, that's when I'll fit it in. Listen to me, it's a sacred thing that God gives us to ground us in the reality of who we are and how God sees you. And in our culture, we move to the place, and I'm talking to the choir here. If you're watching online, we move to the place where the body of Christ is something we interact with when it's convenient and we're not busy. God help us. As you begin a new year, so what do you mean? When you choose week after week to put yourself under the teaching of God's word, and I commend you. I commend you for that. When you choose week after week to put yourself under the teaching of God's word, under God's word, what you are saying is this. I'm a part of something bigger than myself, and I'm not my own authority. I have an authority. That's crazy thinking in our culture. Patterns of this world is you're your authority. When you choose to put yourself under the teaching, what you're doing, and I commend that, what you are doing is waging war against the patterns of this world. So in this world, listen, I'm part of something bigger than myself. When you choose to connect with the other in group, when you have a group of friends that are believers that you're continually connecting with, what you are doing is surrounding yourself with people who will tell you what is true. You are waging war against the patterns of this world. When you choose to serve week in and week out, which many of you do, give yourself to the body of Christ, whether it be here or in our community, you are reminding yourself you're a part of something bigger than yourself. Much of what we do during the week in our comings and goings is serve ourselves or serve those who are near to us. And the reality is, when you're a part of the body of Christ, you are reminded you're part of something bigger than yourself. You're part of something bigger than yourself. Parents, let me lean in here for a second. I'm going to get in trouble here, but it's okay. If you don't like what I'm about to say, I want you to email me at joel.goddard at bethlehemchurch.us. I'll get right back to you. I'll get right back to you. Parents, let me say this to you. When you say no to some things to say yes to the body of Christ, you are modeling what is sacred to your kids, not just what's pragmatic. I want to say this again because it is lost in our culture. Gone. Like I say this, and it's amazing to me. When you are training your child in what is sacred and what's important, and you say no to one thing to say yes to the body of Christ, you are modeling to your kids the foundation of the thing that's going to remind them over and over who they are. And I'm shooting you straight. It's amazing. But like that idea to parents now is just crazy. I would tell my kids they can't do that because we're going to do this. That's nuts. That's the patterns of this world forming your mind, big boy. I think about the generation behind it. Like my father raised me in a way that there were things we said no to say yes. Some people now will go, I think that's legalism. No, I call that being holy. And we've just lost it. It's just a lost thing in our society. Why? The patterns of this world. You got to choose what anchors you. When you give yourself to a fast, 21 days of prayer and fasting, and some of you on Friday, day 3 or 4 into this thing, thought, Jason Britt. I was sitting at a basketball game Friday night by next to a guy who goes to the church here, and he's eating a salad, and he looked over at me like, what is wrong with you? Right? And I see the middle of, but listen, when you choose as a body to say no to some things, to say yes to other things, what you are doing is reminding yourself you're part of something bigger than yourself. You're telling yourself of what you need. When you choose to worship, when you choose week in and week out to worship with the body, what you are reminding of yourself is I need to be reminded, you need to be reminded, we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. The body of Christ for centuries, it grounds us in what is true. So Paul says, have a sane estimate and a sober judgment about yourself. Well, how do you do that? Choose repeatedly, willingly, intentionally, over and over to give yourself to something bigger than yourself. Listen, let me say it like this. That's why we open up more services at our campuses, if you're watching. On Thursday night, we're flat out of room. Look here. Look all around. South Venue. Was it not fun getting on the parking lot this morning? Some of you parked in Gwinnett County. You're like, I parked in Gwinnett County to get here. Well, we're opening more seats because it's just we're trying to create some more space in this season of expansion. And when I say Thursday nights, I'm talking about opening seats to people who can't. Some of you are like, that will work fine for me. If that serves the church, praise the Lord. Listen to me. Here's what I want you to hear. The patterns of this world will tell you what you want to hear. The body of Christ will tell you what you need to hear. The patterns of this world will tell you how you should feel. The body of Christ will remind you what is true. The patterns of this world will tell you how other people perceive you. The body of Christ will remind you how God sees you. You have to make that choice. What do you mean? The patterns of this world, the conforming of this world, will tell you over and over what you want to hear. The body of Christ will remind us, the church, the people of God, remind us what we need to hear. The patterns of this world will tell you how you should feel. The body of Christ will remind you what is true, no matter how you feel. Hello, church. The body of Christ will tell you what is true. The patterns of this world will tell you how other people perceive you and how you should perceive yourself. The body of Christ will remind you over and over again how God sees you. So here's the practice. Am I being conformed or transformed? How do you see yourself? The body of Christ continually reminds us of who we are and that we can see ourselves as God sees us. So here's the picture. Jacqueline, my friend's up here. She's going to help me paint this picture this morning, literally. Here's the picture I want to leave you with. If the principle is simply this, there's a difference between being self-aware and self-conscious. Look at me right quick. Difference. If we sometimes don't know the two in our culture. The practice is, how do I ground myself in what's true? Willingly, repeatedly, intentionally give yourself to the body of Christ. Here's the picture. We're all being molded. Whose hands and what voice are molding me? So Jacqueline, my friend, I want to create a moment here. And Jacqueline, her and her husband Jeremy have attended here for a long time, two kids. Jacqueline teaches art for us at our school behind here, has taught there for many years. She's not only an art teacher, she's a very gifted artist herself. Sculpting, art, collect pottery. She's incredibly gifted. I asked her to help us out. Now, here's the thing. I have an immense amount of respect for artists and creative types because I'm not one. Anybody with me in the room? Like artists and creative types, I have an incredible amount of respect because that's not me. What I respect about an artist, what I respect about a sculptor or somebody that's, is they can look at something and see what's not there. They can look at something that's in process. When you get there and go, I don't really see it, they can see the finished product. They can see the finished product. They see what's the end. Or as Paul would say, you and I are God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus, we are sculpted and made to do good works which he's prepared in advance for us to do. My friends, your thoughts, your values, your perspectives, your emotions are being molded, period. You choose what's doing the molding. There are voices, there are patterns, and there are practices. And there are perspectives our world continually molds us in all the time. It's the frequency of our air. You are being molded, my friend. Something is shaping and forming you. You don't get a choice in that. Some of you dudes, you think, you're not your own man. You're being told who you are. You're being told what success looks like. You're being told what masculinity is. Some of you women, you're being told what you should look like. You're being told how you should be. You're not neutral. You have to choose repeatedly, significantly, consistently what molds you. See, the Bible talks about the idea of being consecrated. There's an old hymn as the band comes. I want you to hear, and I want you to get the visual of you're being molded. And when you choose again and again to give yourself to the body of Christ, what you're doing is putting yourself in the hands of the Creator. Let me say it again. When you choose to put your feet firmly and remind yourself, I'm a part of the body of Christ. When you fast and pray, when you open the Word, when you say no to one thing to say yes to something else, you're waging war against the patterns of this world. And you are putting yourself squarely in the hands of the sovereign God of this universe who says you have purpose, you matter, you have significance. And the word consecrated, biblically, is this idea of holy and sacred, something being holy and sacred, something being made sacred. There's a hymn that I remember years ago learning. Take my life and let it be, Lord, consecrated, Lord, to thee. It's the idea of you reminding yourself in the midst of the patterns of this world shaping you, you're a part of something bigger than yourself. You have purpose. You have significance. You matter. As the band sings this, I want you to just get this visual, this hymn over us for a moment of what it means to put your hand, to put your life in the hands of the Creator, in the hands of the God of this universe, over and over and over. Something's molding you. Something's molding your kids. You make the choice who's doing the molding.